Welcome back to Everything is Public Health. I'm MJ.
And I'm Cass.
Are you a fan of snow, Cass?
Oh, I have a complex relationship with snow.
So. Oh, we love nuances. We love the gray area. Come on, let's see it.
So growing up in the Seattle area, rarely got snow, like actually at like where I lived.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, sometimes, but not a ton. It doesn't get as cold there, you know, mostly rain. Sometimes there'd be snow, but a lot of snow in the mountains nearby, right? Growing up in the Seattle area, Cascade Mountains, lots of opportunities to ski and snowboard. I think I mentioned I grew up skiing and then transitioned to snowboarding and was a snowboard instructor for a long time.
Yeah, snowboard's great.
Yeah. So I very much enjoy going places to experience snow. As I have gotten older, I find snow where I live to be moderately annoying.
Yeah.
Because most people don't know how to drive in the snow.
Right.
People don't shovel their sidewalks. And so then it's dangerous. And it's hard to run in the snow. Although I do have
run in the snow.
I have like little cleats that I can put on my shoes to run if it's really snowy or icy. So I love snow. I love the idea of snow. I like playing in the snow, but then I would like to not have the snow at your house. Home so that I don't have to shovel, sprinkle salt, whatever.
Snow is fun when you go to it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I like to go to snow and have fun.
Snow is not fun when it comes to you.
Yeah.
I think that's the main difference. So no childhood experience of like shoveling snow. Not really, right?
Not really. I mean, like we got such little snow that when on the rare occurrence there was snow, everything was canceled. But usually it was like canceled for very small amounts of snow. I didn't really shovel snow, I don't think, until I was in undergrad.
Right.
Where I went to undergrad, we got a lot of snow. It's a desert in the summer and, you know, frozen tundra in the winter. And so some of us would sometimes volunteer to help shovel snow around.
Where'd you go to undergrad again?
Central Washington University in Ellensburg.
And that is, even though it's still in Washington, the geography is different enough where the climate is completely different.
Absolutely, because it is, once you get over the Cascade Mountains, the east side of the state is very different than the west side.
Now that is interesting.
There are seasons on the east side of the state, much more variable temperature. In the winter, it regularly be like 8 degrees when I would walk to class.
Walk in 8 degree weather? Dang, that's tough.
I mean, like, what are you going to do? It's 8 degrees. You still have class.
I guess you can't not go
there
to class.
There were no virtual.
Right?
There's no Zoom. Right? There's no nothing.
Like, you have to go there no matter what. Oh,
if you
that's
needed
tough.
To meet with people who were nowhere near, you know, you would do conference calls, right? We didn't have didn't have the Zoom. Anyway.
Oh, well, those are the times back then without these.
What about you? Growing up in California, right? Not so much.
Right. Grew up in Taiwan, no snow. Moved to Arizona for 2 years, absolutely no snow.
Oh, I didn't realize you lived in Arizona.
For 2 years, yes. It was a just okay experience. And then moved to California, no snow. I mean, we saw snow in a sense that we went to snow, right? I think going to snow is fun. We went to Lake Tahoe, the famous snow destination in California. That was really fun. So the first time I had to deal with snow that came to me was in Baltimore, which, as you know, it's not a lot of snow. It's a little bit of snow.
Oh, there are times where there's a lot of snow. Snowpocalypse.
Yes. But, you know, it's not the Midwest. It's not upstate New York, right? They actually get actual snow, what I consider actual snow when it does snow. Whereas Baltimore, it's more like the freak accident once in a while. So, you know, never had that experience as a child of like shoveling stuff. Hey, well, the second question I have to ask you is, does Seattle have snowplows? Or does it snow so rarely that you never see them?
I have no idea. I do know. I was out in Seattle in December a few years ago, flew into Seattle and it was snowing and like it was a mess. Everything was delayed and the roads were, I mean,
they're not used to it, I guess.
There were plows, but I don't know that they were plows from Seattle.
I don't know. That's okay.
I haven't lived in the Seattle area as an adult. I had a very short amount of time where I lived in the Seattle area as an adult, you know, coming home from summer or over summer from college, but it's been a very long time. So I don't know. But I mean, weather is crazy. Often in the last couple of years, my parents and my sister are getting way more snow than we are here, which is totally weird.
Right. That's climate change for you. Yeah. But I'm sure you saw snow plows in undergrad if they get consistent snow in the winter.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right. So yeah. Seems like neither of us are snow people in that we didn't grow up surrounded by snow in the winter, right? We have occasional run-in and we enjoy snow as recreation, but we're not the northerners or whatever of the world who, you know, suffer through snow every winter. How connected are you to internet culture and memes? I know this is like a you know, whiplash left turn, but
I was like, whoa.
It's coming together.
I'm on Instagram. You know, I will go out there for funny things. James will often share stuff, and we've got a little friend group where we'll send funny videos or pictures to each other. I love a good GIF, but other than that, like, I don't know, I'm aware, but I probably am missing a whole lot of stuff because I just don't, my life doesn't revolve around that.
Let me know if you've seen this meme. It's quite old, but you know, it comes up now and then and makes the round. This one, the one I'm hovering over.
A socialist snowplow just went past my house. Will this tyranny never end? I don't think I've seen that before.
Have you seen this? This might be more popular nowadays.
I don't think so.
But describe it for the audience.
So there's a highway with a bunch of snowplows driving to try to remove the snow from the road. And it says, brace yourself, socialist snowplows are coming.
Okay. So, there's variations to this, but essentially, this is the same gist. Here's another one. Read this. Describe it again.
So again, it's a highway with a whole bunch of trucks with big snowplows, and it says, patriots, brace yourself, socialist snowplows are coming. Will this government tyranny never end?
Right. So there's a lot of variations to this, but you get the gist, right? You know, socialist snowplows are coming, framed in a way that's like, oh, it's a bad thing. You know, let's use your media literacy or social media literacy. What do you think this is trying to say?
I have no idea. It makes no sense. Why wouldn't you want a snowplow to come and take the snow away?
Like, so
government funded snowplows is my guess. And so, you know, oh, we're spending our government money to remove everyone's snow equally. There's no priority for certain people to have their snow removed first. I don't know. It's stupid.
Well, you got it. I mean, as much as you think you don't get it, you got it, right? So this meme was made in 2014, which is, you know, a while past, but it subsequently spurred more similar images, as I've shown you, that's in the same vein. And to this day, still occasionally pops up, especially during times when there are winter storms, especially during times where cities that don't get a lot of snow suddenly get a lot of snow, right? This meme pops up. But you got it. Like that, it's making fun of, so for me, this is my perspective, what I think it means, right? Other people may have different perspective. My perspective is this meme is making fun of the right-wing politics, general hypocrisy of claiming that government is bad while complaining very little about public services that benefits them, right? Public snowplows, right? I couldn't get actual numbers on this, but I believe just from digging around on the internet, the vast majority of snowplows are part of the city's utility service, right? It's part of the local government, owned by the city to some extent, even if they're not, they're like contracted by the city to provide these services, but for all intents and purposes, a utility, right? Owned by the city, paid for by taxpayer dollars.
Sure. Yeah. Most of the plows that we see come through are supported by the city. Yeah.
Yeah. Baltimore City, whatever, or state of Maryland, whatever, some sort of local municipal, you know, snowplows. So it's making fun of that. It's, you know, the whole like, yeah, you got it, right? It's making fun of how people complain about socialism, quote unquote, and complain about like government tyranny and overreach of like the government, the big government is bad, your government's doing too much, but without realizing that, hello, our tax dollars pay for essential services like
this. Oh, come on. No, stop. Yes, they realize that. Come on. That's the hypocrisy of their argument. They do know
right.
that this big government is paying for these services, like keeping the roads safe. You know, I think it's really important to name that many of these people who are slamming the socialism,
quote unquote, right,
for providing supportive services, they're intentionally not talking about
yeah.
these utilities and public goods and other things, because then their hypocrisy of the argument is laid bare and they don't want to raise that.
Yeah. So we're talking about snowplows today, or, you know, quote unquote, socialist snowplows today.
That's literally all I'm going to call them from now on. Socialist, oh, here come snowplows. The socialist plows.
Yeah. I'm glad I introduced another vocabulary into your vocabulary bank. So we're talking about snow, specifically the impact of snow and how these cold weather events, you know, solutions to these snow and cold weather events, like we do often on this show, if not every episode, hopefully, we have to do our due diligence of talking about why something is public health. Because, you know, everything is public health. That is the name of the show. So we got to do this segment. We have to. The relationship between inclement weather and car accident is widely observed and understood.
Injuries are not accidents.
Sorry. Let me rephrase that. I failed you, Cass. So what would be the better phrase?
Motor vehicle crashes.
Yeah, there we go. The relationship between inclement weather and motor vehicle crashes is widely observed and understood, right? Icy roads are more dangerous, and it doesn't take a lot of brain to figure out that why you want to plow the streets just for that reason. So that's, I think, the main one that people think about when it comes to snow plowing.
Sure. And thinking about then having roads that are clear. Mm-hmm. Clear roads are essential to other critical services, that not just sort of people getting to work or getting to resources, but ambulances being able to get places, fire trucks, because often in times of inclement weather, there can be other health issues or safety issues that require an emergency response. As I mentioned when we were talking in the opening, you know, people being able to walk on the sidewalk or run on the sidewalk. So making sure that they're cleared so that you don't slip and fall. If you can't get anywhere, if you can't get on the street because the roads are either poorly plowed so that some side roads are blocked off or not plowed at all, again, you can't have commerce, or it's harder to have commerce because you can't get to the store, you can't get deliveries. And all of these things are important for public health. Often when there's inclement weather, power lines might fall, right? And being able to get crews out on safe roads to be able to address those issues, you know, it's good for the public. It's in the public's interest, a la public health.
Yes. And we talked about how important transportation is, right, in a previous episode. Well, you got to clear the roads if you want transportation to happen, right? So snowplow is a critical part. Now, a quick tangent. Salting sidewalks, the responsibility of that varies by jurisdiction. Some jurisdiction will actually have part of the snow crew to come and salt the sidewalk. They obviously salt the road when they do snowplowing. But, you know, some jurisdiction, they say, no, it's the property owner, whoever property owner needs to plow the sidewalk. I don't know how that works legally. Like, if you don't do it, can they fine you? I actually don't know.
I think technically, again, jurisdictional
wide
jurisdictions,
right,
vary. Technically, in a place where you are required to shovel and or salt, you can be ticketed. Wow. Okay. Or fined if you don't do so. But more importantly, let's say I'm walking down the road or the sidewalk and you have not shoveled and salted, and I slip and fall in front of your house on your sidewalk, I could sue you.
So yeah, sidewalks are a little weird because they're kind of not public, kind of public. So it depends on the jurisdiction that you're in. But, you know, in general, the public spaces, generally you have municipalities sending out these snow plows, which will salt the road, often salt the road, if not always, after they plow their snow. An important thing to emphasize, this is a public problem. Like you said, right? People need to be on the road. Transportation is a public issue. And when it snows on everyone in that area, and therefore making it like a public problem. And depending on how much snow, we could have serious impact, right? This is public health. This is, at very least, a public health concern. And snow plowing by your local government is a public service that solves this public health problem.
I mentioned very briefly earlier snowpocalypse, which I was living in Philadelphia at the time, but I had been accepted into the PhD program at Hopkins in Baltimore. So I was connected and was sort of starting to get some of the emails and some of these things. And this was fairly late in the year. So I already knew that I was accepted at that point. So it must have been like February or March, which, not that it doesn't snow in February or March, but usually it's, you know, warming up. So this was in 2010. Mm-hmm. So early 2010 was snowpocalypse, which in Philadelphia, we got hit pretty hard. I think we had like 2 feet of snow fall overnight. Baltimore got hit even harder. If I recall properly, it was like 3 feet of snow that fell overnight. No one was prepared for it. It was like this weird thing that came up, and all of a sudden people are like, why is it snowing? What is happening? There was so much snow, and not just Baltimore, but everywhere was so unprepared for how much snow there was, that it took a week for all of the roads to get plowed in Baltimore. And again, they plowed main roads, and side streets just had a ton of snow piled up in the way. And just, again, thinking about how do people move through a city? You can't even get your car out. Even if you could shovel around your car, there's a 10-foot snow berm that you are not getting your car out of. And what does that mean for how people sort of move through space? Anyway, snowpocalypse was a big deal.
No, I mean, no, that's very important. I think we didn't highlight this as much, but it's worth highlighting. There are definite instances of people unfortunately dying because they're snowed in, right? They either need medical attention, they need to get somewhere, but couldn't. And there have been cases of people either suffering greatly because they are snowed in or just actively, unfortunately, passing away due to inclement weather. So we're going to go through the history, a little bit of a history of snow plowing. You're going to see where I'm going with this by going through the history of this.
Okay.
And we're going to have some discussion question towards the end. And I feel like you already know where this is going, but you know, we're going to go through the motion. So, you know, snow was a serious problem then as it is now, right? People, when it's snow in the city, it sucks, right? You can't get anywhere. So they knew that this was a problem. Before cities, it was managed just by people in general, right? Before people were densely aggregated, people plow by hand. You manage your own land generally, but city is what made that concern a little bit more serious, right? It became a public problem. It's more noticeably public because cities are a bunch of people densely collected. So if one street is blocked, you're talking about multiple thousands of people not being able to move. A huge equity issue appeared, right? Snow plowing became a rich people status symbol. Oh, I can afford to hire people to plow my driveway, or I can afford to hire people to plow the road between my house and where I want to go, right? It became very, how do you say this?
Bougie
and unequitable, right? There are certain neighborhoods that just does not get plowed, and there are certain neighborhoods that gets plowed. So very much became like a class issue. And then people realized, no, it shouldn't be like this. The streets should be plowed. The city should be responsible. It should be a public good. So the first, they had the police do it. Now, how do you think this happened? How do you think this went down?
I would imagine, I mean, maybe it went well, maybe not. But I see two problems. One problem, if law enforcement is spending all of their time plowing the snow,
right?
You know, they're probably not doing other things that they might be needed to do.
Yeah.
And also, like, what, I don't know, what training do police have to manage snow, right?
To plow snow, right?
Maybe not the best strategy.
Exactly. It didn't really work. I think main problem was just a manpower issue. Like, there's not that many police to plow the entire city. This is before any motorized thing. They have to plow by hand. So first they had the police do it. It was just like, oh, I mean, they're there. Might as well have them do it. It didn't really work. I mean, but that lasted for a few years. Then they made it a public service that by establishing an entire department within, this is for example, New York City, but you know, other cities went through a similar timeline like this. And they made a department just for snow plowing. And this guy, George E. Waring Jr., pushed the idea that it's not just the main roads, but all roads should be plowed. Because if you only plow the main roads, there's a huge equity issue because who lives near the main roads back then, right? Tend to be people who can afford the downtown neighborhoods or, you know. And this was in the late 1800s and early 1900s, right? The idea that it should not just be people plowing their own street. It should be a city's moral obligation is what he called it, to clear snow for everyone, not just the rich people. So that became a thing. And then technology made a huge difference, right? We have motorized vehicles now. We have actual snow plowing machines instead of people with shovels, which is what happened for the longest time. And the idea of city services occurred organically from those things, right? We have garbage collection now. We have road maintenance. We have public health. That's all provided by the city. But these things are eroding.
Not to go on a tangent for a second, but as you were just talking, I thought of this hilarious snow-related video that came across my feed not that long ago, which was
okay.
A neighbor was taking like a cell phone video because two neighbors across the street were getting mad because they each had snow blowers and one basically like kept blowing snow into the other person's driveway as they were trying to snow blow. So then at one point they turned the little output thingies at each other and they're just like walking towards each other snow blowing and just like blowing snow at each other.
Why can't people be nice?
But I just popped into my mind thinking about plowing for oneself.
That's a symbolism of a larger issue. Anyway, that's not comment too much about two neighbors
just
war,
was,
snow war
it was
with
so
each
ridiculous
other.
Because it's like, why don't you just
you could help
blow
each other,
the snow right? In a different direction? Just don't blow it in your neighbor's driveway, particularly as they are out there snow blowing. It was just, people suck sometimes.
Yeah, people suck. But anyway, so that's, I think this is an important piece of history because this is one of the first manifestation of a city service, something that is absorbed by the city and local municipality to do, to carry out this utility for its citizens. So here's the discussion question. Hypothetically, what would a world where snow plowing is not a public service look like?
I mean, that's easy. You would have a capitalism-based model.
Private snowplows.
Where the people who have the most money can afford to plow. And likely what will happen is the plowing, the shoveling by those people then deposits the snow in places where people can't afford to plow. And then it just is worse for people who can't afford their own and or afford a service where then they're responsible for shoveling or plowing their own roads. You know, rich people are just going to dump their snow there because it's easy for them and who cares?
Yeah, this goes back to the socialist snowplow memes. We keep thinking, I mean, not we, but, you know, a lot of people keep saying that, oh, you know, the free market provides the best services, right? It's the private sector provides the best services. And I can't imagine a service like, for example, snow plowing being privatized because as soon as you privatize something, the incentive is different. As we've discussed many times.
The incentive is different, but also thinking about resources. Let's say even if we created a privatized snowplow structure that was flat rate. So everybody has to pay these private companies to do it, but you all pay the same amount. Somebody who makes $100,000 paying $1,000 for a snow service is very different than somebody who makes $20,000 and having to pay $1,000 of snow service. And I recognize that, you know, often we pay for these public services through taxes on the places that we live or, you know, fees that are associated with where we are. So in a certain sort of mind frame, it is a little bit that way, but we all pay into the same pot for everyone to access a good that is available to everyone and cannot be sort of said, oh, well, do this first or just do mine because that person didn't pay. That's not the way a public good works. And so I think it would devolve into, instead of me paying a flat rate, I'm going to pay you three times more so that you come and do my stuff. Right.
Also, if they are a private company, not only do they need to pay for their services, they need to capture profit. The price is going to be higher because they're trying to capture profit. And even if you're like, well, private companies do things more efficiently, which one, I question. And two, even if they do things more efficiently, by doing things more efficiently, it does not incentivize them to lower their prices. It incentivizes them to, well, we could just capture more profit now, right? Because why would they lower their prices? And then you go into the question of, well, you know, private company fosters competition. Which then I bring up, so you want two competing snow plowing companies in the same city? What would that look like? Then you get into like, no, this is our street. Like, we are plowing this street. And then you get into the classic businesses fighting each other, leaving the people who actually need these services behind, which we have seen many times, not in this space, but in other spaces. Now, here's a question for you. I actually don't know the answer to this, so I hope you can illuminate my mind. What do you think the fundamental difference is between a public service and like government contracting someone to do something?
Well, I see one really easy difference, which is if the government is doing something as a public service, those employees are government employees, whatever the sort of jurisdictional level is, meaning that there are certain benefits that they get for doing this job, whether that's retirement or health insurance or whatever it might be. There are certain benefits that come along with being a government employee versus contracting out, even though one could argue, well, the government is, you know, we're not paying our own people to do this, and so maybe we'll save money. The problem is you're paying a company to do this, and the company, one, might not provide the same benefits or services or salary for the people doing the work, again, for all the reasons we talked about with them wanting to maximize profit. But in the long run, it actually may end up costing more money.
Oftentimes do.
Because at times, so let me pause for a second. I'm going to say something and then I'll come back to this. So in many cases, governments are required to use the least cost bidder.
Yes.
So if you and I both had companies separately, we would go to the government and say, this is what I think I could do this job for. This is what it would cost. And the government is often obligated to pick the cheaper one. Again, with the mindset of trying to save money. The problem is that far too often, the least cost bidded company either actually doesn't have the capacity to do it at the cost.
Right.
So then sometimes there are extra costs that then pile on to that. Or two, they can't do the job. So then you have to go back to that other company and have them help. The number of times I hear James complaining about, oh, we had to go rescue such and such today because X, Y, and Z did least cost bidding. And the company that was bid, like they didn't know how to fix this problem because they actually didn't have the expertise. They just were cheapest. And so then his company had to sort of swoop in and provide some support. So coming back to the sort of the difference between public service and government contracting, there's different levels of accountability when the government employees are the ones doing the work versus contracting out to a private entity.
Yeah. To me, that's one of the biggest differences, that if something is a public service, they are, I mean, you can argue about the flaws of this, but they are at its core responsible for the people. And people have, to some degree, right? You know, democracy is kind of iffy right now, but you know, to some degree, people have power to hold these public services accountable, and people have the ability to say, no, I want, this is not good enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say in a public hearing or whatever, or with my vote or with my, what, you know, representative that I voted for, to hold these public services accountable. With a contractor, you have that extra distance between that service provider and the mechanism of your dissent, which is via your vote or whatever. So I read this awesome blog article where they talk about actual socialist snowplows. Like they went to Sweden, a socialist country, and say, well, let's look at actual socialist snowplows. And I thought that was really funny. And they do a great job, you know, unsurprisingly, because they get snow all the time and they have a very robust public infrastructure.
Well, and it's a different mindset.
Yeah, it's like it's a service.
It's a different mindset where it's, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. And if we invest in everyone, the whole country will be more successful, more competitive, healthier, happier, whatever, right? And that is a very different mindset than we have now.
The idea of like these city services, we used to have a community cooperative and, you know, some would say socialist mindset in the late 1900s or the early 1900s, late 1800s. And that was great. What happened to that? What happened to like...
We had a common cause.
The common cause was snow, I guess. There's a lot of snow on the street.
I mean, like thinking about the span between the late 1800s and into the early 1900s, there were various common causes that happened, right? The First World War, even. And having something that brought people together and feeling like we need to do right by each other, because look, we might not still be a country if we don't, you know, work together. And I certainly think we've lost some of that rising tide lifts all ships idea.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Everything is Public Health. We don't run ads. We are fully independent and will never run ads. If you hear an ad, that is not because of us. If you like the show, please share it with your friends, your family, and acquaintances. That is the best thing you can do to help us tell everyone how awesome and ubiquitous public health is.
Please follow us on Threads, Instagram, and Mastodon, all at Everything is Public Health, and Blue Sky Social at Everything is PH. We are no longer on the Twitter. You can also find me on Threads at CastPhD and LinkedIn.
New episodes are released every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a rating and a review. It helps the show immensely. If you have any feedback, suggestions, or think we miss an important perspective, please reach out to us at everythingispublichealth@gmail.com.
If you want to support the show directly, we have a Patreon page, which also acts as our website. Follow us there for all major updates and bonus material. And remember, everything is public health.
Everything is public health.